Chapter 6. The Patricians. The gubernatorial throne was less impressive than Fulgrim had hoped. It was a sturdy seat, hooked into a barely functioning pneumatic lift, which wheezed alarmingly as it raised Pandion above his court. The throne's dais was set beneath a massive circular window of coloured glass. As the throne rose, it carried the governor into the light streaming in, so that he was limned by the sun. At least, in theory. In practice, Pandion was forced to lean to the side and squint to see anything. He was likely deaf as well as blind, given the noise the throne made. The groaning cacophony of pumps and pulleys was drowned out by the choir of youthful castrati arrayed about the dais. Their high, soft voices smoothed over the mechanical complaints and lent an air of regal dignity to an otherwise ridiculous process. "Clever," Fulgrim murmured, as he watched the spectacle play itself out. Pandion would loom over any supplicants or accusers who chose to make themselves known. Corinth stood below him on the dais, surrounded by a ceremonial guard clad in heavy sky-blue armour, marked by the sunburst sigil of the continental government. "It's almost as if he's removing himself from the line of fire."
"That's exactly what he's doing," Pike said.
She stood beside Fulgrim, waiting to be announced.
"Pandion is adept at taking himself out of consideration. He's made himself a virtual non-entity, and as a result managed to just about hold onto what little authority he has."
She frowned.
"He's utterly venal, but he's smart."
"Which is why we are here." Fulgrim looked around. The throne room was an amphitheatre, with raised benches to either side of the processional, stretching from the doors to the foot of the throne. The curved lines of benches were occupied by senior members of the patricians, or their duly appointed representatives. Each of them was accompanied by a gaggle of scribes, guards, and hangers-on, all of whom were in constant motion, running messages between the seated representatives. The level of noise was staggering, a solid rumble of voices cutting across one another. Occasional scuffles between messengers, or the representatives themselves, only added to the din.
"Oh, it's a mystery to me how they get anything done," Abdomon said from behind Fulgrim.
He and Sirius were acting as honour guard.
"They don't,"
Pike said simply. "In that respect, it's little different from any human government." Fulgrim settled himself in for a long wait. Corinth had briefed him on how it would go. They would be announced last, after the assorted officers, merchants, and tithe collectors waiting for their moment with the governor. The reasons for this were twofold. First, it was to disabuse any whispers that the continental government was no longer in control of Byzas. Second, Pandion hoped to lull the attending patricians into complacency, so that the announcement would pass without comment. There was little hope of that, though. The patricians reminded him of the Cumosian executive clans. They scented blood, and they would never abide a new predator in their waters. In the days since their arrival, Pike's iterators had fielded hundreds of missives, bearing the seals of an equal number of noble families. Protests, demands as to their intentions, and the occasional abject surrender. The masters of this world did not yet truly understand their situation. But soon enough they would. And when they did, some would become openly hostile. Fulgrim looked forward to it. A worthy challenge, or an interesting diversion at least. When they were announced at last, Fulgrim took Pike's hand and led her towards the throne at a stately pace. Unlike the others, they were not supplicants, and it would be unseemly to hurry. They had all the time in the world. The patricians fell silent as they approached the throne, but only for a moment. Mutters swept the amphitheatre as men leaned forward. Some of them would have seen Fulgrim at the welcoming ceremony or the banquet, but for most, this was their first glimpse of the Primarch in the flesh.
"Like Ali Kerr's growling over a bone,"
Pike whispered. Fulgrim fought to keep his amusement from his face.
"So long as they content themselves with growling, I'm satisfied."
The ceremonial guards on the throne's dais stiffened at their approach, but didn't raise their weapons. He studied them, noting the laxity of discipline. Their sky-blue armour was more decorative than functional, and made from curved overlapping plates of layered metal, resembling the carapace of an insect. It had been covered in gilt and delicate etchings, depicting scenes of courtly life. Their weapons were antiques, even by the standards of Byzas, and equally ornamental. They might make for suitable clubs, but otherwise were of little threat.
"The gubernatorial guard," Pike murmured. "Originally the second-born sons of trusted noble families. Now mostly whoever can afford to purchase a commission."
"Numbers?"
500, according to the muster rolls."
"In actuality?"
100, perhaps 2.
Pike smiled.
"It's still a well-regarded position, but more ceremonial in nature these days. The patricians were uncomfortable with the governor having access to a dedicated corps of professional soldiers, made up of their family members. Some among them would like to see it reduced even further, to a select few."
"Chosen by them, no doubt."
"Of course,"
Pike said.
"Make no mistake, it's not simply greed. They've been eroding the throne's power for generations, steadily chipping away at the only authority greater than theirs."
"And all in vain," Fulgrim said. They reached the throne a few moments later. Corinth descended to meet them, a somewhat strained smile on his face, and a mobile voxcaster clutched in his hands like a staff. There were shouts from the gallery above, as someone let their anger get the better of them. They fell silent a moment later, likely hushed up by their fellows. Fulgrim allowed himself a small smile. There were always a few who couldn't restrain themselves and stay in formation. From above came Pandion's voice. The primitive voxcasters built into the throne hurled his voice outwards in fits and starts.
"We welcome before us the representatives of our brother from the stars,"
Pandion began. Fulgrim quirked an eyebrow. "Brother," he murmured, looking at Corinth. The Chancellor flushed.
"He's trying to keep face."
"Our brother has sent his son to invite us to take part in a great endeavour. One that is as much our birthright as the stones of the Anabas Mountains,"
Pandion continued. The noise from the benches swelled, softly at first and then more loudly. Pandion raised his voice accordingly, fighting to be heard.
"We shall rejoin the great empire of humanity and reclaim the stars. We shall..."
His voice dissolved into crackling static as the voxcaster succumbed to age. Pandion slumped back into his throne, wiping his face. A wave of static flowed down from the benches as men raced to the voxcasters mounted along the rails dividing each section. They shouted over one another, each one fighting to be the first to condemn their sovereign lord's words. Corinth gestured to the gubernatorial guard, and the men struck the dais with the stocks of their rifles, once, twice. The noise didn't lessen. Fulgrim raised a finger. Abdomon drew his sword and turned it about. He caught the blade and drove the pommel down against the floor, cracking the tiles and the stone beneath. The sound echoed through the chamber, and the contentious squabbling from the gallery stuttered into silence. Corinth winced.
"That's going to be expensive to replace."
Pandion took advantage of the lull.
"My brothers, do not despair. This is our destiny. We were not meant to grub in the soil, but to sail the stars, and our newfound kin have come to show us the way."
He gestured to Fulgrim.
"And why should we believe this creature?"
one of the noblemen asked, his voice echoing creakily through his voxcaster.
"He clearly isn't even human. For all we know, he's some dreg from the glass waste, clad in finery, set up to trick us."
Fulgrim restrained a laugh as a rumble of agreement echoed from the benches. Pike made to reply, but Fulgrim waved her back. He looked up at his accuser.
"To what end?"
The man blinked, startled by the sonorous resonance of Fulgrim's voice. Even without the voxcaster, his voice reached every ear in the chamber. Fulgrim continued before the man could recover. I have no need of tricks, my friend. I am a son of the Emperor of Mankind, and I could snuff out your world like that if I wished.
He snapped his fingers for emphasis. He heard a sudden intake of breath from Corinth. A roar of protest swelled up. Fulgrim raised his hands as if in welcome. He cast his smile into the teeth of their anger, reveling in their impotence. They had all seen the Stormbirds descend from on high, bristling with weaponry. Abdomon and Sirius stood before them, flanking their Primarch, resplendent in their baroque warplate, their hands resting on their weapons. The proof of his statement was there, and even the dullest among them could not deny it.
"I would prefer peace," Fulgrim called out, hands clasped before him. He held one out and made a fist. "But I am fully articulate in the language of war."
He smiled beatifically.
"I can draw down fire from heaven and scorch your cities to glass if I wish. But I do not wish. I do not wish to set my sons upon you. I do not wish to unleash Lord Commander Fraser's war dogs upon your population."
He held up a finger as if in warning.
"But I can, and I will, if necessary."
He spread his hands.
"I beg you, gentles all, do not make it necessary. My brothers believe that it all comes down to fire and blood. They are world breakers and shatterers of civilizations. Luckily for you, I am of a more diplomatic inclination. I would rather work with you. I would see you join the Imperium of Man as full citizens of our galactic brotherhood, not as broken menials." Fulgrim dropped his hands. "But rest assured, you shall join us. You will be made compliant, one way or another."
He kept his voice even, calm. It was not a threat, merely a statement of fact.
A rumble rose up. Men were on their feet, shouting to be heard through malfunctioning voxcasters. Messengers ran back and forth between the benches. Pandion hunched back in his throne as if the uproar pained him. And perhaps it did. The governor was well aware of how this must look to his guests.
Fulgrim glanced at him, noting the grimace of ill-ease.
"He's worried," he said.
"Good," Pike said. "Let him worry. Let them all worry. It'll make things easier. Fear is the strongest lever we have."
She spoke confidently. The noise levels dipped. Someone new had the floor. Fulgrim studied the man. Whoever he was, he commanded the respect of the others.
"Patrician Bucephalos," Pike murmured. "One of the leading lights of the vocal opposition. Old family, old money."
Fulgrim nodded. Bucephalos wore dark robes, which did little to obscure his bulk. A stylized hippocampus was picked out in white thread on the uppermost fold, and a smaller version was tattooed on one round cheek.
"If we are to believe you," the heavyset man began, "then that implies that you come not in peace but as conquerors. That if we do not submit to this farce, we will be crushed by these unseen armies at your command."
Muted laughter from the bolder of his fellows greeted these words. Not so much as there might once have been. Not now that the possibility was backed up by evidence.
"That I stand before you now is proof enough of my peaceful intentions. I have no interest in conquering your world, Patrician Bucephalos, only in seeing that it takes its proper place in the wider galaxy."
If Bucephalos was surprised that Fulgrim knew who he was, he did a good job of hiding it. He frowned.
"And yet you can understand our confusion when you toss about such grandiose threats at your whim."
"Not a whim, I assure you."
Instead, a statement of fact. He gave Fireblade Sheath a light slap.
"Like this sword, or the bolt pistols my sons wear holstered on their belts. A show of strength, so that we might treat with one another as equals."
"But isn't the whole point of this display to show us that we are, in fact, not equals? that our esteemed governor wishes to sell us into slavery to a power we have little hope of resisting? You seek to frighten us, sir. Nothing more, nothing less.
Bucephalos stepped back as his fellows began to shout and stamp their feet. Fulgrim inclined his head, acknowledging the point. He waited until the noise died down and said, "You are right. I seek to scare you, but not as a soldier seeks to scare his foe. Rather, I seek to frighten you as a parent might frighten their child. Fear is a lesson, a temper to action. If you fear, you will not act rashly or inadvisably." He shrugged elegantly. "Perhaps it was a mistake to do so. I freely admit that I am not immune to such things, for you see, I know fear as well." Silence greeted this admission, as Fulgrim had hoped. He stepped forward, hand over his heart. "I fear that you will surrender to misplaced pride." He held up his hand. "I fear that you will slap aside my hand offered in friendship." He indicated Fireblade. "I fear that I will be forced to draw this blade in anger. I fear that I will be forced to destroy what I desire only to save." He swung a hand back, indicating Abdomon and Sirius. "I fear to unleash my sons, for their wrath, once stoked, is a fire which would surely claim this entire world. I fear all of these things, honorable patricians." Fulgrim turned, sweeping his gaze across the long benches. Few of them dared attempt to meet his eyes. He sank to one knee, head bowed, arms spread. A murmur ran through the benches. "I beg you, my friends, do not let my fears be realized." He looked up and brought his hands together as if in supplication. "Let us cast aside fear together, noble sons of Byzas. Let us join our fates together and journey as one into a glorious future." He rose gracefully and turned to the throne. He bowed deeply. "With your permission, hereditary governor, I shall withdraw and await your decision." Pandion nodded silently, his face a mask of conflicting emotion. Fulgrim turned towards the doors and took Pike's hand once more.
"A touch melodramatic," she said softly, as they proceeded away from the throne. "But memorable. Stirring, even."
Fulgrim smiled. "Let us hope it does the trick."